Mark 1, beginning at verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, Jesus went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And now begin the words of our text. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. This is the word of God. Holy and inspired. May he bless it to our hearts this morning. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, the miracle recorded here was a great and notable miracle. If you compare the parallel passages in Matthew and in Luke on the healing of this leper, Matthew records this as the very first miracle that Jesus performed after the Sermon on the Mount. After Jesus had instructed his people in the kingdom of heaven and in the nature of the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, and after he came down from the mountain and was surrounded by great multitudes, it was at that time, as Jesus walked from that mountain into another city in Galilee, that this leper came to him and fell down and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. This miracle then was performed in the sight of a great multitude of many people, so that they saw a man who was obviously a leper. Luke says that he was full of leprosy. It was not hidden under his clothing somewhere, but was on his face and his hands, so that the people could see him as a leper. This man, who was obviously a leper, in an instant was healed by the will and the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the people marveled at the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that miracle is notable for us because that leper is a testimony of your spiritual condition and mine. This is a house of lepers. This congregation is. This assembly is. A house of lepers. And we're full of that leprosy. We're full of sin by nature. We are unclean by nature. Our sins are vile. They pollute us. As we come together this morning, the only hope that we have as a house of lepers is the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, His will. That's what the leper said when he came to Jesus, recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus' response, recorded in all three passages, was this: I will. I will. The will of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is sovereign, eternal, determinative. That will cleanses us lepers so that we stand up from this worship service clean as that leper who had come to Jesus full of leprosy stood up clean without a spot upon him. That cleansing by the will of Jesus Christ is the imparting to us of his own purity and his own righteousness, so that Jehovah God in heaven declares regarding us the righteousness, purity, and soundness and holiness of my Son, I impute to you. I count as yours. I justify you. And cleanse all your sins and all your guilt and all your filth in the blood of mine only begotten Son. What a notable miracle. What a wonderful truth to come and hear in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful, notable thing to behold in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. For in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that same truth is taught to us. The Lord Jesus Christ, who himself was pure and innocent, was broken. His blood was shed to cover all our vile, filthy iniquity. And so we hear the gospel and taste the gospel and see the gospel this morning as we consider the cleansing of the leper. That's our theme, the cleansing of the leper. In the first place, consider the leper's confession. In the second place, consider Jesus' cleansing of the leper. And in the third place, consider a notable testimony. The cleansing of the leper's confession, Jesus' cleansing, and a notable testimony. After Jesus came down from the mount where he had preached that sermon recorded in Matthew, a man came to Jesus who was afflicted with the disease of leprosy. Leprosy was a skin disease. It was a disease that would cause sores on the flesh. And it was a disease that would cause nodes to be raised on the flesh that were visible and hideous to the sight. Leprosy could also cause nerve damage in the skin so that a leper might receive a wound in his patch of leprosy and not even know it, and so be susceptible to all kinds of infections. And leprosy was such a dread disease because that infection of the skin would result in the loss of the extremities, the loss of an ear, the loss of the tip of the nose, the loss of fingers and toes down to a joint or two. Leprosy was a vile disease. Leprosy was a disgusting disease to look upon. Those who would see a leper would either gaze in horror or would avert their eyes quickly. Leprosy was gross to the sight. And it was meant to be, because leprosy is a type and picture of our sin in its disgusting nature. Leprosy is a picture of how vile and disgusting we are by nature. We must learn to see our sin the way Jehovah sees our sin. We are tempted to see our sin as such a small thing, as insignificant. We are tempted to see our sin as even somewhat respectable. And we are tempted to see ourselves in comparison with others as clean and pure and upstanding and upright. But when we see our sin through the lens of leprosy, then we see its vile nature. Our sin is not clean, and we by nature are not respectable, but are vile and filthy and disgusting. That's how God sees our sin. That's what God sees when he looks at us in the light of his requirement and his law. He sees lepers, lepers. And that's how we are taught to see our sin this morning as well. We're lepers. Your lust, your fornication, your adultery, your secret sins in the dark. That's your leprosy. Disgusting, vile, filthy. Your hatred, your hard words that are unrighteous. Not righteous hard words, but unrighteous hard words against your neighbor, and your thought about your neighbor, bitterness that you never give voice to, but that is in your heart. That's your leprosy. It's disgusting. You're lying and deceiving, twisting of men's words is your leprosy. Your casual use of the name of God and your tolerance of the blasphemy against that name by those who use that name in a vile way is your leprosy. Your indifference to truth, to righteousness, to sound doctrine is your leprosy, and all of that is mine. It's vile. It's disgusting. That's our sin. That's who we are by nature. That leprosy as a type and picture of our sin finds its greatest horror, its greatest disgustingness in the fact that a leper had to be put away. A leper was not allowed to come into the city. A leper was not allowed to come into the camp. He had to be put outside the camp and dwell with the other lepers and the others from the nation who were unclean. And that putting out of the camp was not for the sake, first of all, of the other Israelites in the camp. As if that leprosy might spread to the other Israelites. That was true. Leprosy was contagious. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, and a little leprosy will spread to the whole camp. It was contagious. But when God said in Numbers 5, you put out the leper, his concern was not the contagion of the disease, but his own honor and his own glory. Numbers 5, verses 1 through 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper and every one that hath an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead, both male and female shall ye put out. Without the camp shall ye put them, that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and put them out without the camp, as the Lord spake unto Moses. So did the children of Israel. Put out the leper that he defiles not the camp where I dwell. The leper was apart from Jehovah. Jehovah dwelt in the camp. The leper must go outside the camp and stay outside the camp as long as he was unclean. That's the great horror of sin. That's the great grief of sin. That Jehovah is a holy God. His eyes are too pure to look upon those who are unrighteous and sinful and vile. That's where you and I belong. We come with all that leprosy. You and I belong outside the camp. We belong with those who are separated from God. How crushing. How crushing for us lepers. And that explains then, too, why the leper had to behave the way he did outside the camp. He was required to go around crying out when someone saw him, unclean, unclean. And he was required to cover his upper lip, which amounts to covering his face. And he was required to have his head uncovered, which does not merely mean he would wear no turban or no covering on his head, but it would mean he would let his hair become unkempt and unruly as a visible sign to others that something was wrong. And he would be required to rend his clothes. All of those instructions are given in Leviticus 13, verses 45 and 46. The leper had to do all these things. And all of these things, including the crying out, unclean, unclean, was not this so that people would know to give him a wide berth, but all of these things were signs of penitence. Signs of repentance, signs of grief and shame and sorrow for sin. The sinner whose heart was rent with repentance, rent his clothes. And so the leper's rending of his clothes was a sign of sorrow and penitence. Those who were guilty of sin were ashamed and would leave their hair and their beard unkempt as a sign of that shame. And cover their faces as a sign of that shame. And the leper in crying out, unclean, unclean, was not saying, watch out. But he was saying, I'm filthy, I'm vile, I'm unclean before Jehovah, and dwell outside the camp here from him. Penitence, sorrow, repentance for sin. And that too. That too characterizes us by God's grace. By God's grace, by nature. We come here as lepers. By grace, we cry out to Jehovah, unclean, unclean. That's what I am in myself, unclean. I'm ashamed. My heart is rent. That's the leper. This leper comes into the crowd, comes into the multitude that surrounded Jesus after his Sermon on the Mount, falls down before Jesus upon the ground with his face to the ground. And he says to Jesus, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt. The leper here hangs everything on the will of Jesus. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. What is the will? Well, the will is that faculty by which we decide things, by which we make determinations, by which we make judgments. If you make a decision, that was by the faculty of your will. We also know things. That's by the faculty of our mind. But when we decide, make a determination, and make a judgment, that's by the faculty of our will. When you decide to go to this grocery store and not that grocery store because of the sales at this grocery store, you willed to go to that grocery store. That's our will. It's out of fashion in the church world today for the members of the church and the church to exercise her will, to make determinations, to make judgments, to make a stand, to make up her mind, which means make up her will, determine where she will stand. It's in fashion in the church world today not to make a stand, not to make a judgment about what is true and what is false, and what is right and what is wrong. It is seen as somehow more Christian for the church or for the individual Christian to sit on the fence with regard to truth. And as they are told, to keep an open mind on what is right and what is wrong, to be able to see all kinds of different perspectives on what the church should do. And if there is a child of God who stands up and exercises that will and says, I determine and I judge on the basis of the Word of God that this is right and that is wrong, that this is true and that is false, then that Christian is called proud, arrogant. Called stubborn or hard-nosed. It's out of fashion in the church world today for the church and the Christian to exercise their will. But that's not the Bible's view of the will of the child of God and the will of the church. The Bible says that you and I as believers who have the Spirit of Christ not only know all things that are freely given us of God, we know all things that He's revealed in the Scriptures, but we judge all things. And that judgment is that exercise of the will in which the Church of Jesus Christ says, we judge for this, and we judge against this. And that indicates that in the church it is not praiseworthy for the church not to know what her judgment is, for the church to stand back and hold back and be of an open mind with regard to everything going on. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is called to judge all things and may judge all things by the Word of God. Now, the way that happens in the child of God is not this, that we have this independent will, and that the child of God, independently of God, or merely by the enabling of God, makes certain determinations and exercises his will. The Word of God is clear that the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ himself personally dwells in our hearts. That Spirit that causes us to cry, Abba, Father, to Jehovah. That Spirit gives us the willing, so that when the child of God has taken a stand, has made a determination, the child of God doesn't look back at it and say, now that was all my work and my willing. But he says, even my willing was given me from Jehovah, by the Spirit of Jehovah. The child of God is not called to determine what he pleases, but he's called to determine according to the Word of God, so that he takes that Word and sheds its light on everything before him. And in the light of that Word and by the Spirit of Jesus Christ in his heart, makes determinations and makes judgments. That's the will. The leper comes and appeals to Jesus' will. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And what is that will of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's the will of God Himself. It's the will of God that makes determinations, that makes decisions and makes judgments. The eternal will of God, the sovereign will of God, the determinative will of God. The will of God is never on the fence. Jehovah God and Jesus Christ, His Son, are never of an open mind and don't know how to make up their mind. The will of Jehovah God is sovereign, determinative. In fact, that will of God and that will of Jesus Christ is, so to speak, the furthest and the deepest we can go into the reason for everything. We could almost say it this way, that will of God is the deepest we could go into God Himself as God has revealed Himself in His Word. God's will is eternal. And that will, that eternal determination, explains the salvation of the church. God willed that you would be His people. And He willed that the reprobate would not. And to find the explanation for that determination of the will of God, we do not go to the elect and reprobate themselves and say there's something here in the elect that was attractive to God, or there's something here in the reprobate that was disgusting to God. The elect and the reprobate themselves are not what determined their choice or rejection. But the will of Jehovah did. So that when someone asks, why? Why did God choose me? Why did He choose His church and His people that He did? The end of that line of questioning is this: because He willed it. He willed it. That's the truth taught in Ephesians 1 at some length. In that election theology that we read in Ephesians 1. For example, verse 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. There's the answer for predestination. There's the answer for election. God willed it. He willed it. The answer for reprobation, too. He willed it. He determined it. He decreed it. And that will of God choosing His church is a determination and a decree that serves His ultimate decree and determination of His own glory in Jesus Christ. So that when you trace that will as far back as the Scriptures take us into God and into eternity, you find at the center of that all the Lord Jesus Christ, who glorifies God in who He is and in what He does. How lovely is that will of God. The Lord Jesus Christ came not to do His own will, but He came to do the will of His Father which is in heaven. And the will of Jesus Christ according to His human nature is in harmony with that will of Jesus Christ according to His divine nature. So that when the leper appeals to Jesus' will and says, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, that leper is saying, the will of God determines this. will determine whether I am clean or not. What do you think of that leper's theology? What do you think of that leper's theology that appeals as the ultimate determining factor to the will of Jesus Christ and the will of God? You know what that theology is? It's one-sided theology. It's one-sided. It doesn't take into account the side of man. Not at all. The leper doesn't come saying to Jesus, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean, because I already will to be clean. That's not the leper's theology. It has nothing to do with him. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That's all. If thou wilt, period. If there were theologians standing around in that crowd when the leper fell down on his face, they would have told the leper, you've got to correct your theology. That's a one-sided theology. You've got to take yourself into account, man. Give yourself some credit. You came through the crowds after all. You fell down here at Jesus' feet. You want this. You will this. Give yourself some credit. The leper will not. The leper does not. If thou wilt, that's all. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. One-sided theology, which has always been cast in the teeth of the teachers of the truth, so that even our forefather, Herman Hoeksema, in 1924, was called sound in the essentials of the Reformed faith, but with a tendency to one-sidedness. I'll tell you this, the only theology a leper can have is one-sided theology. He's rotting. He's vile. He's filthy. What is he going to bring of himself to God? What is he going to bring of himself when he falls down and beseeches the mercy of Christ? That's the only theology a leper can have. That's why that's our theology. Why it must be our theology. A theology that rests on the eternal will, the eternal determination of Jehovah God in Jesus Christ. And Jesus shows the rightness of that theology by his response. What does he say? I will. I will. It is my will that you be clean. Because it is my will that you be clean, you shall be clean. In this, Jesus is moved with compassion for the leper. We find in verse 41, Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. The Lord Jesus Christ looked on that leper, didn't turn his face away, but he looked on him and loved him. He loved him. When the Lord Jesus Christ, from his throne at God's right hand, looks on a house of lepers such as us, and sees our depravity, filth, that we're hopeless in ourselves, he's moved with compassion. He does not turn his face away from his people. And in that compassion, he touches them. Nobody touched a leper. Nobody would put his hands on the flesh of that man that was putrid and disgusting. They gave him a wide berth, but not the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ touched him, put his hands upon him. It was for that purpose that he had come into the world after all. He came into our flesh. He came into our leprosy. He came into our leprous, disgusting, vile flesh. Not that he himself was impure. He was perfectly pure. He was righteous, clean, beautiful. But he took on him all our leprosy. And when we were outside the camp by our fallen Adam, the Lord Jesus Christ went outside the camp there to touch us in compassion and cleanse us of all our leprosy by coming to us in that house of leprosy outside the camp, carrying all of that vile defilement to the cross with him, bearing it away, so that we are cleansed from all our filth, so that we have a home in glory with God and in his house with him now. The Lord Jesus Christ in compassion touched the leper and willed that he be cleansed, and he was cleansed indeed. That's what he does in the Lord's Supper this morning, too. He touches us. He touches us with his own body, with his own blood, broken and shed for us. It's as if from heaven he reaches down, according to his own sovereign will, with his own compassionate hand, gives to us his own flesh, pure, clean flesh, so that we hear the declaration in the gospel and see it in the sacrament. You are cleansed for my sake. When Jesus had cleansed the leper, he told him sternly, firmly, we could almost read it angrily, he told the leper, go thy way and tell no man of this, but show thyself to the priest and perform all of the sacrifices necessary for a testimony unto them. Jesus was telling the leper, who was not now in Jerusalem, but who was in Galilee where the Sermon on the Mount had been preached, go down the road to Jerusalem, and according to Leviticus 14, offer all of the sacrifices that are necessary. That'll take you 8 days. On the first day, you offer the birds that are required. And on the last day, you offer the 3 lambs that are required. You go down there and you offer those sacrifices, which are an atonement for you. And you do that for a testimony to the priest and for a testimony to the rulers in Jerusalem. That's also why Jesus told the leper, don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone, because this testimony is urgent. In Jerusalem is the headquarters of two-sided theology. In Jerusalem is the headquarters of the priests and the leaders who teach their will and not the will of God. They must have this testimony of a leper who was full of leprosy, whose extremities had been falling off, and who in an instant was made clean and pure by the touch and the will of the one whose will alone is determinative. That's the testimony, the notable testimony that we must always hear as the Church of Jesus Christ. We must always hear that it is the will of God that is sovereign, and not the will of man. That it is the compassion of God according to His will, and the touch of the Lord Jesus Christ according to His will that cleanses us, lest we, giving some space to a two-sided theology, begin to boast, us lepers. Boasting, it's unseemly. It cannot be, may not be. The testimony must be made to the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, and His will is our salvation. The leper disobeyed. He went to the priests, but he blazed it abroad on the way. He did not head straight there. So much so that Jesus was pressed, could not enter into the cities, and had to depart into the wilderness to teach and to preach there for a while. There's a testimony in that too for you and me. That we who have been cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ, we carry around with us that leprosy yet. We carry around with us, that is, our old, totally depraved nature. God doesn't impute it to us. God counted it all to Jesus Christ. But you and I, forgiven all our sins, continue to need the Lord Jesus Christ and His will and His mercy. We're not finished with Him. We're never finished with Him. He remains until our dying day and then into all eternity itself, our only head, our only mediator, our only hope, our only Lord. And so, we lepers hear the gospel of the cleansing of the leper and now come to the table to taste and to see that cleansing. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word. Wilt Thou apply it to our hearts? Cleanse us of all our sins, our vile, filthy sins, blotting them out in Jesus' blood. We depend upon Thee, Thy word.